From its founding in 1907, CASTech has always been more than just a school. It's been a cornerstone of academic and technical excellence, producing generations of leaders, innovators, artists, and visionaries. Hey, I'm Jabez, and welcome to the one-off episode of CAST Chronicles, a legacy of excellence. Today, we'll dive deep into the school's origins, its impact on the city of Detroit, and the stories of students, alumni, and educators who continue to shape its enduring legacy. Let's first take it back. Named after former Michigan Governor Lewis Cass, Cass Tech was founded in 1907 on the third floor of the old Cass Union School with a mission to combine both academics and technical training. Records at that time showed that only 35% of Detroit high schoolers graduated, with an even smaller portion of 10% going on to college. With the idea being so new, many taxpayers found the idea of a technical high school to be a waste of money, but the results spoke for themselves, with enrollment jumping from 110 students in 1907 to 700 students in 1909. An addition was added to the building in 1909 to attempt to meet demand, but the whole building was destroyed by a fire just a few months later. The next year, the council approved $225,000, more than $5 million today when adjusted for inflation, to build a new building on the site of Cass Union. This formally opened on October 23, 1912, and was named Cass Technical High School. However, the rapid expansion of the student body rendered the new building too small by the time it opened. There weren't enough lockers, with the building only containing 20 classrooms to serve its 1,500 students. The waiting list for enrollment was limited to 200 students, but more hundreds applied, so the school started offering evening classes. Even with this change, however, it was nearly impossible to move through the halls during class changes, a struggle well known to CAST Tech students even to this day. By 1907, Detroit was building two-thirds of the country's automobiles, and Detroit's population skyrocketed from 465,000 in 1910 to just shy of 1 million 10 years later. The combination of the city's booming industry and booming population was enough to convince the city that a new building was needed. It took the Board of Education 11 campaigns to finally get the necessary cash, but by the time the $2 million was there, a war was raging and the government had started clamping down on wartime spending, so construction was delayed yet again. Just a quick note here that $2 million was back then, right now, in 2024, it would have been over $50 million. The 8-story building finally opened on September 11, 1922 and cost about $3.93 million to build, or $50.9 million today. Though receiving major criticism from both the mayor and the fire marshal for being outlandish and a fire hazard, educators praised the building's success and beauty. Brick and limestone covered the exterior of the building, while marble lined its vestibules and bas reliefs with industrial motifs flanked the entrances. The hall's floors were terrazzo, but some classrooms and gyms had hardwood floors. The ceilings were originally barreled ceilings, but later covered by drop ceilings. During the 1970s, under the operation of the city school district, some had reservations about running such an advanced program in a system where thousands of students were falling behind multiple grade levels. Not to even mention the barrage of calls being made in regards to smallness and neglect. A modern addition, which consisted of another gymnasium and a supposed Olympic-sized pool, was built in 1985 to try and solve this problem, but proved to be ill-fated as the building fell further into disrepair. I say supposed because apparently no one was paying attention and they used English measurements instead of they use an imperial system instead of metric system, essentially. Okay. The city building department deemed the You know what? I'm going to keep that in there because we human. Backing up, the city building department deemed the auditorium balcony to be unsafe, with the pool being left to rot. The roof was extremely leaky, and there was only one working elevator, and the rooms were either too hot or too cold in the year 2000. A new Castech was set to be built in 2002, with its official opening taking place on May 21st, 2005. As the school moved into its new home, nearly everything from computers, desks, televisions, and school supplies were left in the deteriorating old building, creating a dystopian time capsule of sorts. Over the next half decade, the old building would face many rounds of vandalism, thievery, general shenanigans, and even fires, leading to its ultimate demise, complete demolition in 2011. Wow, what a powerful history. And as a Castech alumni myself who went to school only in the supposed 2005 new building, between you and me, our elevator still went down all the time, and it would always be either too hot or too cold all the time. We're going to take a short commercial break, but when we come back, we'll be hearing some of the past and current voices of Castech. Tired of juggling your stuff while trying to do a million things at once? Meet the ultimate key hook, the simple solution to staying organized. Never lose your keys again. With its sleek design and sturdy build, the ultimate key hook just keeps your essentials in one place. No more frantic searches, just grab and go.
The ultimate key hook is not responsible for lost, misplaced, or stolen items. Installation required for indoor use only. Actual results may vary. Keys and accessories not included. Weekly subscription of $200 for life and the signing of a 100-year NDA required upon receipt. Have a good day!
And we're back. My first guest is Destiny O'Neill, a current freshman at Wayne State University studying business and a past Castech alumni. She's also one of my really good friends.
I first wanted to attend Castech because when I was in middle school, I always heard good things about Castech. I just thought it was just like the coolest school ever, and I just wanted to go. And also, some of my family went and graduated from Castech, so that was also another reason for me wanting to go. And about my first day, I was online, so really, there wasn't really much for me to enjoy. But for my sophomore year, my 10th grade year, my first day, I got lost. Man, I was just like overwhelmed with the amount of space. The building is huge and the amount of people that were there. But, you know, besides the getting lost part, I mean, I had a pretty good first day. For the people that are unfamiliar with Castech, I would honestly describe it as a good balance between academics and having fun.
My final guest is Carla Rivers Johnson, a talented violinist and co-owner of Florella Strings.
My name is Carla Rivers Johnson, and I'm a musician. I would say a Castech student is creative, an achiever, one who executes at the highest level, a student with gratitude and fortitude, an individual with grit and grind about them, a go-getter, someone with pride in themselves and their community. A student who will attain success and ultimately contribute to the rich and long legacy of that which is Castech. During my time at Cast, I did go to school with famous alumni. Most immediately, Big Sean comes to mind, particularly because I was part of the instrumental ensemble supporting his most recent concert at the DIA. He graduated just 1 year ahead of me in 2006.